Yes, especially in this time of the coronavirus. God has an encouraging word for you and me today from the Bible itself. The Encouraging Word. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor. And today, as he takes us to the message, The Exalted Christ, we'll be going to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2 in a minute, but he wants you to know that we're here for you. Now more than ever, we are believing in the power of prayer to bring us together and using technology like streaming and online and radio broadcasts that are helping us as the body of Christ pray for one another and pray each other through. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. Jot it down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673, or online at tewonline.org. We would love to encourage you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
For someone right now that your heart is just so fragile, for someone right now that God may be putting in my heart that you're just wondering whether it's even worth living, listen to what God says. He loves you, and His Spirit will speak to you. Now, I'm going to read to you a few verses in Philippians chapter 2. And this is so important to us today. You know that wonderful verse that we quote all the time that just comes to mind? God will never leave you nor forsake you. All nod if you've heard that. God will never leave you. I'm going to show you why. That's not even the subject that I'm speaking on today, but that verse keeps coming to me. I want to speak to you today on the subject of the exalted Christ. Now, that little word exalted is a very important word. It means prestigious, illustrious, lifted up to the highest level. My favorite word to explain the word exalted is distinguished. And the Bible tells us something about the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that after the Lord Jesus had come to this earth and had taken on Himself your sin and mine, yet He Himself without sin, after He identified with us, He went to the cross, taking upon Himself the sin of the world. He was buried, and on the third day, God raised Him up. He didn't come back to life with our sin in Him. Sin was once and for all buried. It was dead. That's why, watch this, when you give your heart to Jesus, you are taking hold of what the Lord Jesus has already done for you. Even though you are being set free of your sin now, you are being set free of your sin because of what Jesus has already done for you when He went to the cross, taking your sin, was buried in the grave. God raised Him up, brought Him back to life, and then after having appeared to over 500 people, He ascended, He went back up into heaven, and that's when the Bible says God exalted Him. Does that mean that Jesus somehow changed? No, He didn't change, but the Bible's going to show us that He exalted Him and gave Him a name which is, watch this, above every name. You get that? The most prestigious, because it's at that name, the name of Jesus, that every knee will bow and every tongue on earth. What happened when God exalted Him? He received a new name, Lord. That speaks to His sovereignty. He received new worship. When He was on this earth, only those who believed in Him would bother to go and worship Him. Remember when He was born, it was just shepherds, wise men, and there were a lot of people right throughout His life who said, no way. The Bible says through the exaltation of Jesus, having paid the price, that He received a new worship because everyone, whether everyone wants to or not, all people will worship Him. He received new rulership. When he came to this earth, some people thought he was just coming to deliver them from Roman oppression. God tells us that when Jesus was exalted, made distinguished above all others, he was given a new rulership. He received the right to rule and have sovereign authority over everyone and over everything. He also received a new allegiance. Allegiance is very important. At his birth, only those who wanted to agreed to give this Jesus allegiance. But the Bible tells us with his exaltation, all people will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether they want to or not. But for some people, it's going to be too late. That's why I want to invite you today to give your life to Christ. And something very interesting happens. And if you look with me at chapter 2 and all the way down in verse 12, the Bible says right there that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling is the attitude with which believers pursue their sanctification. In other words, it involves not only a healthy fear of offending this holy and righteous God, but it also incorporates a righteous awe, an act of worship, and sense of subservience before a holy and a righteous God. He said, you and I need to come to grips. We need to work this out. Friends, I'm calling us today. If you know this Jesus, it's not good enough for you and I just to sit there and say, oops, yes, I'm a believer, I'm forgiven, I'm going to heaven. The Bible says we need to be engaged in the very action and activity of not only offending all that God stands for, but of worshiping him out of a deep and abiding spiritual sense of awe and respect for all that God is, because he's the exalted one. Let me read this to you. Verse 9 of Philippians chapter 2. Therefore. See, I can't even get past that word, therefore. Evidently, there's got to be a reason. Something's just happened. Well, what just happened? Paul looked at believers like you and me and says, this needs to be your attitude. This needs to be the way you conduct yourself. This needs to be how you approach your life in Christ. Let this mind be in you. And the first thing he does is he says, you got to be an empty disciple. We talked about that last week, didn't we? Because the first thing that Jesus did was that he emptied himself. And we discovered last week that he emptied himself. He made himself nothing. He set aside his privileges. He gave up his heavenly glory. He let go of his eternal riches. He forfeited his Father's favor. He sacrificed his own will. That's what Jesus did. And God is telling me to do something that I can't do. Because I have to let the mind of Christ, which was also in Christ, but has been given to me by his Spirit. In other words, God, as he says in the very last part of verse 13, it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. Hey, I've got good news. You can do this. You can empty yourself. You can't do it. But God can, because God is at work in you. That's a disciple. A disciple is someone who has completely backed off and said, Lord, I cannot, but you can. That's what a disciple is. An empty disciple is nothing. An empty disciple has no privileges. An empty disciple displays no glory. An empty disciple owns no riches. That was a hard one for some of us. An empty disciple desires no favor. An empty disciple pushes no agenda. In other words, Paul put it like this. He said, I am nothing, excepting that Christ is in me. I'm somebody, not because of me, but because of the exalted one. Therefore, Therefore, verse 9, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Why are there three dynamics? Why does he say in heaven, on earth, and under the earth? Because there are three domains of God's sovereign reach. Heaven, that is where God's seat is. There are three heavens. God's seat occupies the third heaven, the seat of his authority. No man can get there. Earth, God created the heavens and, singular, the earth. Well, what's under the earth? What do you suppose is under the earth? Why did Jesus say that this man in Luke 16 who died without knowing him was buried under the earth? Why did he say of Lazarus who knew him, had a relationship with him, was not buried under the earth? He was carried up by the angels into heaven. You ever wondered why volcanoes spew lava and fire? You ever wondered what is down there? You ever wondered why in Revelation chapter 21, the new heaven and the new earth, that God comes down out of heaven, the new Jerusalem, says, from now on I'm making my dwelling place in the galactic sphere of my sovereign grace with no separation. There's not going to be any more gravity, no sea, no separation. Why is he going to make his headquarters in the new Jerusalem, exactly where Jerusalem is now, but the new Jerusalem? What role does this earth play, and what do you suppose is under it? Why does God not refer to under the earth when he creates the new heaven and earth? Why does he demarcate heaven, earth, and under the earth when he talks about worship, bringing heaven and earth together in the new Jerusalem, but he never eliminates under the earth? We do know this, that Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15 says, if anyone's name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life, they will be cast into the lake of fire.
Forgive the interruption, but that's intense. It's intense, but it's true because it comes from God's word. I pray that you and I would take these warnings to heart and know that if we're not ready, that we can change that just by our decision to say yes to Jesus. If you'd like to speak with someone, we're ready to talk with you, pray with you right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And if you feel more comfortable online, meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Not only will you find folks to pray with you and connect you with great resources, but perhaps you'll begin some new disciplines. Sometimes in this time of isolation, that we feel disconnected from each other in the body of Christ. But spending time in God's Word might root us perhaps more in the most important thing, to be connected to the Bible itself. And watch it change us from the inside out. If you're not receiving the Daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Don, oh, I pray you'd sign up for it today. You can do that online at tewonline.org or just text the word DAILY to 30500. That's right. Text the word DAILY to 30500. We'll send you a quick link. And before you know it, tomorrow morning, you'll be receiving these emails from Dr. Don Wilton. Now let's get back to today's message, The Exalted Christ with Dr. Don Wilton.
We love to watch volcanoes explode, don't we? They make great pictures. No man has ever been able to pour enough liquid down the mouth of a volcano to quell whatever it is that creates that fury under the earth. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, as you have always obeyed, there's the mark of Christian discipleship. So now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, You need to be about the business of working out your salvation, both making certain you do not offend a holy and righteous God, and yet in an attitude of awe and respect because of who God is. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. This is an amazing passage. It's amazing because the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ means that we have a wonderful life to live. It means that we have a wonderful home to long for. It means that we have an incredible King to follow. And it means that we have a perpetual permanent advocate to thank. Let me explain it to you. You see, my friends, the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the empty disciple concerned Jesus' identity as the God-man. In other words, in addition to receiving back His glory, God gave to Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, new found privileges, because had He not lived among men, He could not have identified with them as the interceding high priest, the one who now reigns, making intercession for you and for me. Take hold of it. That's what Paul is saying when he said, "Let this mind be in you." This gives no room for frivolity. This is not bubble and froth. These are the magnificent truths of who God is. This is what the world is waiting to hear. This is what we long for. There are people all across America today who are crying out for someone, for something that means far more than whatever it is we have, and we think we've got it all. But evidently, and judging by the condition in which we find ourselves, we have nothing. Now, what happened when Christ was exalted? Just listen to this. I'm going to try and simplify it. When Christ was exalted, number one, God raised Him. That was the first act in the pathway to the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you will remember that in John chapter 17, which is a magnificent prayer of our Savior who fell on His face in the garden of His betrayal, cried out to the Father which is in heaven and said, "Restore unto me all that I laid aside in order to fulfill the will of my Father which is in heaven." Therefore, God exalted Him. He raised Him. And in so doing, He conquered my death. He conquered my death. He removed the fear. He told me I have no longer anything to be concerned about what happens to me and where I go. This black hole that we look at, this thing that we deal with every single day of our lives, what hope would we have? Anyone have a suggestion? What would we say? We would join the rest of the hopeless world that looks out and says, "Well, at least God probably needs a trumpet player up there." Or we will join the ramblings of Hollywood talking about the big man upstairs. And one day we might find out and only hope maybe we'll enjoy the ranks of the terrorists who believe that by murdering and maiming and blowing up bombs in the name of religion, that somehow this God who's untouchable and unreachable would find favor with them and give them something that they know not of by acts of atrocity and murder. Now maybe we should just get on the bandwagon. No, not I, not I. For God, therefore, has exalted Him. He raised Him. Number two, He welcomed Him. Just think about that. That's how God exalted Jesus. He welcomed Him. Where did He welcome Him? Back home. I've done a few travels in my life. I unapologetically tell you, I enjoy traveling. I've been to some different places around the world. But let it be said on record, there's nothing like coming home to mama. There's nothing like coming home to my duckling. There's nothing like home. I spend half my waking hours trying to connive and work out some kind of plan that I can just sit around with her and hold her hand and just listen to her. Nothing like home, is there? You know something, my friends? There's some things that just carry a lot of value to me. When Jesus was exalted, you know what God did? Welcomed him home. Let me tell you something about that home. It's my home too. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will bring you home. When God exalted him, he not only raised him and welcomed him, but God crowned him. The coronation was the hallmark of the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was in the crowning of Jesus that God, our Heavenly Father, declared him to be Lord. That is the highest honor that God could ever bestow upon any. And he gave it only to his own Son, Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when God exalted him, he seated him, gave him the ultimate position. Bible says he ascended to be seated. Do you know that in heaven there's a throne? Did you know that? You can read about it, for example, in Revelation chapter 4, chapter 5. Bible's full of it. That's the place where the third heaven is. That's the ultimate place. That's where God's throne is, God's seat. And can you imagine that God exalted the Son? Yep, he raised him, he welcomed him, he crowned him, and he seated him. Do you know that you don't sit in the presence of majesty? He is Lord. And the Bible gives us this beautiful picture of all of us surrounding his throne, worshiping him. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. So what does this mean? I have to ask that question. You know why I've got to ask the question? Because Paul said, let this mind be in you. Somehow, I've got to work this out, not only in a manner that's not going to offend God, but also in an attitude of respect and love for his awesomeness, his greatness, for his majesty. So I've got to ask the question, what does this mean for me? The exaltation of Jesus. Four things. Number one, it means that we have life forever. What was the first thing that God did? He raised Jesus. Do you know Paul put it like this? He said, as in Adam, all die, but in Christ, you're all made alive. There it is. We've got life forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but will have everlasting life. Did you know that you can know, that you can know? When you repent of your sin and by faith trust in Jesus, you're going to live forever in him. Number two, it means that we have a home forever, because God welcomed him home. Jesus said, I'm going up there to get your place ready. That where I am, there you will be. So what does the exaltation of Christ mean? Why do I need to make this me? Because in Christ, because of his exaltation, I have a home forever. But it means in the third place that we have a king forever. He was crowned. Do you know that we've got the ultimate leader? God exalted Jesus, crowned him, said, this is Lord, he is Lord. That's why I've got to take hold of this mind needs to be in me, because it is in Christ, and he by his Spirit will give that to me, will fill me when I'm emptied of myself. He'll put himself there, which means he is both Christ and Lord. It means that I've got a king forever and one that can be trusted. You know that you can trust God 100%. But it also means that I have an advocate forever, because he's become my high priest, because he paid the price. It means I have got God, who is both Lord and Christ, advocating for me. Watch this. He is acting on my behalf.
You know, when you go to him in prayer and you say, Lord, would you consider, he said, that's why you can come boldly before the throne. There it is, the seat. Remember, he was seated. That speaks to his position. What is his position? His position as God is the mediator between God and man, and the intercessor, the one who, through whom I can come directly to God the Father. He always listens, he always answers, and he's always going to do 100% what is absolutely best for me, because it's his decision, which means I win. I win in life, I win in death.
Oh, I pray you understand the joy of that winning in Christ. You know, you've heard a great deal of Dr. Don preaching from the pulpit in these last few moments, but would you take a moment and listen carefully what he's going to share with us right now here in the studio?
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name.
If you've just given your heart to Jesus Christ, praying with Dr. Wilton, welcome to the family of God. We're so excited. If it's new beginning, maybe you've rededicated your life to Christ in these moments together. We have resources that'll help you in either situation to take the next steps and to grow in your faith. Call us right now at 866-899-WORD and let us put these resources in your hands absolutely free. 866-899-9673 as we welcome you to the family of God. And many of you who are already members of the family of God, you're growing every day by this teaching from Dr. Wilton, or perhaps some of the extra resources like the book, When God Prayed. If you haven't heard about that, here are details on how you can get your copy.
What miracle are you personally praying for today? You may need the miracle of healing in your body, healing of a relationship, your finances, or to overcome an addiction. Perhaps you need a miracle for your son or daughter to return home. Whatever you need, whatever circumstance life has thrown your way today, be encouraged. God loves you. This month, for your gift of $25 or more to the Encouraging Word, Dr. Wilton would love to send you two inspiring ministry resources: Praying for a Miracle, a CD only message, and a When God Prayed book. Both of these resources will stir your soul and move your heart to a fresh realization of what God prayed for us, and that he can be trusted in what we are believing him for. A miracle. Call us at 866-899-9673. We would love to pray with you and send you these resources. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but we're available 24 hours a day at this number, 866-899-9673, or online at tewonline.org. Tomorrow, Dr. Wilton's diving into another great message called The Safeguard of Our Faith. I pray you'll join us then on these same opportunities to connect with God's encouraging word. Till tomorrow, take care and God bless.